Celebrity Topic. Interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
From Saratoga Racecourse, a very good Wednesday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201, Sports on 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. And here it is. It's hard to believe it goes so fast, but it is, closing week. my equipment bag started to run the... make an end run. Closing week at the spa, and it just you look up and there's Daisy. You look up and it's closing week at Saratoga, and gonna have three more live shows from the racetrack today, Friday, and Monday. And tomorrow I got a heating and venting HVAC guy coming to the house, so I got to be it's Tina's first day back at school tomorrow, which is unusual. Usually it's the day after Labor Day, but they actually have for some reason a Thursday Friday session, so she's back to school. So even the ambient temperature and the atmosphere around the spa, you can already feel the coolish air, the fall mornings, which are unbelievable around here. Also around here, breezing in as he does, Michael Blowin. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Great to see you.
Hold on, I think somebody snapped this baby off. Let me see. No, that should be good, actually. Why is that? Hold on. So let me see. Why are we not hearing from you? Try that again.
Morning, Steve.
No, that's, I don't know. What the hell's going on with that? Hold on. That's problematic. Try again.
Morning, Steve.
You know what? It's in the cord. I changed this cord.
My wife will want one of these.
Where is Di?
Huh?
Where is
she?
Di?
Made the early trip. One trip a year. She's stuck in the car.
Hold on.
Especially when I'm talking all the time.
Hold on, Mike. So let me have this back for a second. I you know, yesterday I used this without a problem, and I don't know what... It's so funny, because yesterday... Huh. Very strange.
Test, test.
All right, try that again.
Good morning, Steve.
There we go.
There we go.
That's very strange.
I was going to say, Diane, my wife, she wants one.
No, it's cutting out. Yeah, let's switch over, Russ. I'm sorry. That is really strange. I literally used this yesterday, and it gave us trouble at Delaware Park, actually, but I changed the cords. So, that's annoying. Michael Blowin.
Nice to see you, Steve.
Always good to see you. And we can't have a summer in Saratoga without a Michael Blowin spotting and a Michael Blowin visit.
It's been great. It's been great. The weather's been great. I was up early. Now I come for the last couple of days. And this is my favorite part in a way, because we get all the business stuff done at first. And then now I can come and just handicap and sit around with all my friends. This is like a... It's like a family reunion. It's like summer camp for aged horse players here.
You're not wrong. That does sort of fit the bill. The way that everybody comes, that everybody comes through and has their special time that they come, a week, weekend, even if it's just one day. There's everybody, makes their pilgrimage here. Did you have the fundraiser?
Yeah. So what we're doing now, beginning on the Thursday before the Whitney, every year we have our little fundraiser. But it's not really a fundraiser. It's really just a thank you party for everybody. And I got together with Brian Bouye a couple years ago, and I said, it's really, why don't all the jockeys come back for the Hall of Fame? Because you hardly,
Well, they do.
Well, some of them do.
Some of them do.
And not many. Because it's expensive.
That's true.
You know, they got to come back, and it's $5,000 to walk down the street. It's like it's a lot of money.
So, wrong.
So my friend Joe Boken over at Ann's Washington Inn here decided that he was going to donate some rooms.
Oh wow!
For 3 days
for the Hall of Fame jockeys. That is great.
And I am telling you, we sat on that porch that night, and early fires, Jose Santos. Edgar Prado, Sandy Hawley regaled everybody with fabulous stories.
Oh, that's really cool.
And they went to the Hall of Fame, and you know, it was really, really great. So next year we're going to try and expand it and get some of the restaurants involved and have a night for jockey at some of the different restaurants.
That's a great idea.
And get them all coming back, because it's, you know, this is the great thing. If you go to Cooperstown, you know, you see all the old baseball players.
That's a great idea. And you know who you should incorporate into this is Greg Montgomery.
Oh, absolutely.
Have Greg do a special poster.
I knew I was glad I ran into you this morning.
Yeah, have him do, you got to give him some advance notice, but, pick out some of the principals you know are going to be here, and can have him, you know, either dressed in silks or one of those scenes. You know what?
He does remarkable stuff.
Look who it is. Look at these.
Just when we were thinking about you, Gary.
I'm digging up Dave now. Should I go get him?
Which Dave?
Dave from Boston.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We were just talking about him. We've got our friends.
Everybody talks about him. Don't feel special.
It's Missy and Brad Morgan are here from Boston as well. This is the guy I was telling you about, the Valeris. You might get him over here. Who's the little guy? Who is it?
Bruce Brown's son.
Oh, you're the famous Bruce Brown, the handicapping Bruce Brown's son. There we go. You love Gary. You've always loved Gary. You're the only person on the racetrack that loves Gary. Bruce's son, whenever he sees Gary, he lights up. You know, it's very funny. It's going to be a fun hour here, because we got Michael Blowen, Rasai Harper is going to join us with the real players inside the backstretch that has become a sensation on the internets. And Michael, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying.
Siaka throws me
off.
It's
a great time, and Sandy Hawley coordinates it all for us.
Yeah.
So next year it's going to be even bigger, and it's free. So Mamma Mia's gives us free food.
Oh, that's great.
You know, I bring the beer from Country Boy down in Kentucky. Put that in the back of the car and let's go. And then we all get together and have a really, really great time. And we accept donations. But I found out something in fundraising: if you put away the tin cup, you're more likely to do better.
Isn't that you know what? You're not wrong.
Now that when I walk around the track, they don't think I got the tin cup all the time. They don't part the Red Sea. Oh, here comes the guy who's going to...
You mentioned, Michael, Breeders' Cup and coming out to see you during Breeders' Cup with another cup in Kentucky, and specifically coming back to Keeneland. There's going to be a parade of visitors, not to mention the Keeneland season, the Churchill season. Tomorrow we start Kentucky Downs. We'll talk to Rick Hammerly in a little bit and get our kickoff to Kentucky Downs. But you're potentially going to have a steady stream.
It's huge. When it was at Keeneland last time, it was just huge. We also have a party the day after the Breeders' Cup, and a lot of people associated with Breeders' Cup come because they want to see their old horse. I was just talking to Brad Cox a minute ago, and we got his fabulous horse Green Mask at the farm, and you know, Brad comes, and you know, the trainers come back, and the jockeys come back, you know. When we had Warren and Victor Espinosa used to come visit him. So it's all in Baffert. And Bob comes, oh, this is amazing. So we had a dead sycamore tree, 100-year-old dead sycamore tree outside the office. The tree guy comes and says, you got to do something with this tree. You got to cut it down. Well, Sylvia Stoller, who works in our office, loves this tree for some reason, this old dead tree. She goes, well, there's a guy that sculpts. He's from Kenya. And he's a sculptor, and he does wood, and he did one for Henry Clay Estate. I'm going to call him. So she calls him, and it's too expensive. I said to Sylvia, we can't put money in a dead tree. People aren't donating money to us. We got to feed the horses. They're not donating money to pay for dead trees. So she was very persistent. And so she got him to cut the price in half. I said, still, it's too much. I said, still, that's still money for a dead tree. Now, I can't remember what horse it was, but Bob Baffert sent a horse to Japan, and he put money in escrow. He gave us money in escrow so that it would pay for him to come back.
Oh, smart.
Yeah.
Smart.
From Japan. Now they have old friends in Japan. It's huge. It's better than ours. They got $5 million from the racing people. You should see it. It's beautiful.
Wow. JRA.
JRA and JBBA.
Wow.
They built it. It's unbelievable. I'm jealous. Their logo's better than ours. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's so nice. I'm not, you know, but everything, most of the stuff's in Japanese. Of course, I don't understand Japanese, but I'm sure that it's complimentary. At least I hope it is. But the place in Japan's unbelievable. So anyway, we got this trajectory, and we got the sculpture, and got all, and we got, who was that horse? I want to say Gormley.
No. Gormley stands. Gormley's here. Spenthrin.
Never mind. We won't guess.
You know who it is?
Who?
Did Calf Wayne go to
I don't
Japan?
Know. I can't remember. But in any case, so now the horse died. So Sylvia calls Jill, Bob's wife, Jill, and says, look, you know, unfortunately the horse died, but we still got this money. Can I use it to pay the sculpture, and we'll make a statue? And she goes, great. So I called Bob back, and I told him I want to make a statue to Medina Spirit. So now...
So that's where this came from.
Yes. So... Now we have this giant wooden sculpture. It looks like freaking Mount Rushmore of Medina Spirit.
Wow!
And they
I didn't know the backstory about the tree.
Yeah. So we saved the tree, kinda. Tree's still dead.
I was gonna say you memorialized it.
Yeah. And
how about that?
And he's finishing it. It'll be finished sometime this week, weather permitting. He's gonna paint it black. He's gonna have the blue shadow roll.
Wow.
It's going to be really, really nice. And I love the horse. I really loved him. And I said to Bob, Bob came the Thursday. He always comes the Thursday before the Derby when he's got something in. So he told me not to bet the horse. I said to him, I'm betting Medina Spirit. He's the only speed in the race. It might be just like War Emblem. Wire to wire, black horse, what the heck? He says, I wouldn't do that. He says, there's three horses in the race that are better. And he telling me this, that, and the other, and that was that. So I bet him anyway, so he wins. So... to me, the horse represents so much about racing in all its, all of its complexity. It's good to have him.
That's for sure.
Have him there, and we just buried Swain. Swain died.
Yeah.
But all the Shadwell stallions were fabulous coming over here. I mean, they just walked in and
got comfortable.
Nothing. I mean, I don't know how they treat what they do over there, but it's unbelievable. Not one anxious moment from any of them.
Yeah. Well, you handed me this interesting sheet that has got all of the old friends, residents over the years that were Saratoga Stake winners. So that was a clever idea. And you look at some of the names, and obviously quite a few are gone. But there really is a distinct connection between the history of old friends and what's gone on here the last 50 years.
I came up with the idea of it sitting on Joey's porch at the Washington Inn 25 years ago, whatever it was. And I said, you know what, I want to start this place for the old stallions, because when I was covering the movies, I never got excited really about movie stars. But I really, when I came to Kentucky for the first time and saw Forgo and Bull Forbes over at the horse park, I went, oh my God, that is really... that is really something, and what hair I had left stood up. I was a thrill meeting him, and I said, I can't be the only nut.
You were way ahead of the curve in terms of making a tourist attraction out of retired racehorses, and also, you know, the only person that occurred to have specifically a place for stallions that had been pensioned, because there are special needs that, you know, you're dealing with entire horses that are now 23, 24, 25, you know, until they pass.
Yeah, Silver Charm's 28.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
How old? Gulch was how old?
32. So Leroy Jolly came to see Gulch one day. He came a couple of times. You know, I know Leroy had a reputation being taciturn and everything. He's always been great to us. He loved Gulch. So we're standing there, we're looking at Gulch, and he looks at him and he goes, and it was a really cold February day, and he goes, that Gulch must be the toughest horse who ever lived. And I said, what makes you say that, Leroy? And he goes, he survived me and Lucas.
Lucas at the tail end. Well, you know, you saw Gary earlier. Gary's longtime assistant, Paul Barone, was Gulch's groom.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He rubbed Gulch.
Gulch's a great horse.
You should, you know what, Rasa, you should do a thing with Paul Barone.
Interview.
Yeah?
I got that story.
Good. Excellent. Cause
yeah.
Because, you know, all those Firestone horses and I It's funny, is that one time when Leroy was on with us, and I brought up Paul, and he said, Leroy was still training, and he said, I if I could get three Paul Barones right now in that on my shed row,
that is so
do
great.
Anything to have well, a groom like that.
We had the three Belmont winners that everybody hates.
Sarava, Birdstone, and
Touch Gold.
Well,
everybody wanted Silver Trunk to win the Triple Crown, myself included.
I can't. I got Parada. I got John Parada. I can't.
I like Touch Gold. But you know what's really interesting about all this, about having these old horses here? They are all so different.
Yeah, oh, sure.
The personalities are so amazing. And, like, nothing bothers Silver Trunk, except he doesn't like to get petted. Just don't pet him. But aside from that, you can walk him around with dental floss, and he's just so quiet. As long as you bring him in every day at 4 o'clock, he's one of the few horses that likes coming in at night.
Interesting.
And Touch Gold's exactly the opposite. He's bossy. He's aggressive. We got an old mare out of a bad situation the other day that was bred by Jim by Mattress Mac. So. Now, the trailer comes up, nobody pays any attention. Little Mike doesn't pay any attention, Dame Undo doesn't, Birdstone, they don't pay any attention. Oh, the truck goes by Touch Gold, and he's ready to go back in the breeding shed. He's goes out of his mind to see this mare. Yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah, so he's still got it.
That's great. I love it.
Yeah.
You replaced the barn, right, after the fire?
Yeah. Oh, this is another great thing. So we have an old tobacco barn there, right? So this is a true story. So
they're all true.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. hey, you put away the tin cup, right? So I've always wanted to redo the barn and put up TVs and have a little room in there where people can eat and drink and have restrooms, not porta potties in the place. You know, make it nicer.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't want to use the money. I don't want to use the horse money to fix up the barn, right? So, the 11 o'clock, the morning of this year's Derby, I get a call from Boyd Browning at Fasig Tipton. Now, Boyd and I know him, and we're not friends or anything, and he's very taciturn, too. If you have a meeting with Boyd, he says, okay, what do you want? You got 6 minutes. This is a six-minute meeting, four-minute meeting, and you tell me, and I'll just say yes and no. I mean, basically, that's a meeting with him. He calls me up, and he's very complimentary about old friends because they did a huge story on us in the Washington Post, and they did a thing on the CBS Evening News and the NBC News and the CBS Sunday Morning. All these stories all came out about the same time that all the negative press was coming out about Bob's problems. So he said, you know, lap racing. So he said, you sit in one of those interviews, you want to do your barn. I said, yeah. I said, Corey Johnson's, Corey's supervising the whole thing. He put everybody together. G.D. Hieronymus is doing all their video for free.
Oh, that's great.
I mean, it's going to be unbelievable. So he said, I just want you to know that I'll raise the money. I want you to make it really nice and don't be cheap. Conversation lasted a minute and a half.
That's great.
So
that's great.
Just so many great people in racing.
Well, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
The people that are great are really great.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Michael, before we wrap and bring Rasai on, let me give you a chance. Tell everybody how can they book visits, give them the lay of the land. And, of course, oldfriendsequine.org has got everything. But for those listening and that are making trips over the next 2 months, September, October, and into Breeders' Cup, and even into November, because, of course, Churchill's got the big fall season, how do they arrange to visit old friends?
So they just have to call the office. It's 502-863-1775, and they can make a reservation that way. They can make reservations online. They can tell me about it, but I'll screw it up and I'll put the wrong day down or the wrong time or something. They don't let me near the books, believe me. They don't let me near the money or the reservations.
The horses. They let you near the horses.
Yeah, I can feed the horses carrots.
That's enough.
Yeah.
Well, as always, I'm sorry I missed you earlier in the meet. It's been a hectic summer. It always is, but we got in the annual visit with Michael Blowin and best of Diane, and we'll see you. I haven't been in several years, so I'll make a trip as part. I'm going to be in 2 weeks, first 2 weeks of September, and then I'll be back Breeders' Cup week.
We've got a lot to show you. We expanded. We got another big donation, and we expanded. We got... 146 in Kentucky.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. You've gone into the corporate donors.
All I want is a mom and pop operation. I got Walmart.
Exactly. You've gone make it more upscale. You've gone even higher. Have you been to one of these Buckies?
They just opened one in Kentucky.
There's one just south of Lexington.
Yes,
right? Because I want to see one when I go next week. Michael Blowin, everybody, you can follow Michael. Just follow Old Friends on Twitter, Old Friends on Facebook, everywhere else. OldFriendsEquine.org, and it's always a delight. One of our favorite people, one of everybody's favorite people around the game, and a fairly new name and face and persona around the racetrack here, particularly this summer. Rasai Harper, and Rasai joined us, Seth and I, on television a couple of Sundays ago, the real players inside the backstretch. You started to see the videos on Facebook, and I first saw them on Twitter, and it is the greatest grassroots, organic project and goodwill messaging for the industry. There's no corporate backing. There's no there's no high-handed, high-hat scheming involved, and trying to make it into a gimmick. It is just Rasai interviewing and prompting all the different kinds of people that make up the game, and putting it out there for people to absorb. And it's educational, it's inspirational, it's funny and warm. Rasai Harper, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Steve, thank you for having me.
Not at all. This is for those that didn't see us on Loose on the Lead. You got to tell the story. We'll get into the specifics about the interviews and where you're headed with it. But the backstory is as interesting and uplifting, frankly, as some of the stories we're hearing from grooms and trainers and farriers and feedman and Bob the shoeshine guy. I mean, everybody involved in the racetrack is making their way into real players inside the backstretch. How did it even come about?
This idea started in a barbershop. And I'm a master barber. I grew up in Brooklyn, no real connection to the horses, and moved to Saratoga and started working in a barbershop and met a bunch of horse guys. And one of the guys I met was Maurice Davis. And Maurice Davis was a kid that when he was a young kid, he grew up on Belmont. And his background was horse racing. His family is from the Ellery, South Carolina, the Camdens.
Sure.
And I used to drive him home at night. He didn't have a car, so I used to drive him home, and we was going in the same direction, and he used to tell me these stories about the people on the backside, the grooms, the hot walkers, the exercise, just his love for the game. He had a memory where he could tell you about a race from 85. He could take you all the way back off of memory, and he told a great story, and it was just amazing. And then just in the barbershop, a lot of the trainers and owners and jockeys used to come in, and we started cutting a lot of these guys' hair. Bill Parcell was one of my clients.
Love it.
Early on. Kendrick Carmouche, Javier Castellano, Julian Leperoux. So all these guys came in the shop, and I got a crash course in horse racing, and a real crash course where it was all about just the whole aspect of the game, the front side and the back side. So I'm hearing it from all angles. And one day I was cutting Javier Castellano hair, and so we right downtown Saratoga, so the shop is downtown Saratoga, to give you an idea. Every horse guy is super famous in this town.
Sure.
You would think you see Michael Jordan the way the town reacts to horse racing. So for me, I'm asking Javier. I said, Javier, is you this famous in Venezuela? And he said, yes, they love horse racing, but when I go to Venezuela, I have to go with the military security. The president fly me in because it's dangerous. I might get kidnapped for ransom. And you know, so I know Javier for years now. I've been cutting his hair for a couple of years, and then I asked him, and then I seen them in the winner circle later on that day, and I just seen the wave, and I turned around and asked all these horse guys, because in the shop, I said, nobody talk to these guys like that? Because I've been hearing so many great stories for years, but I don't really follow the racing. I just follow my friends, and they watch the TVs always on racing.
Yeah.
And it sparked. That was the spark plug right there that kind of put me on a mission to kind of do a podcast.
And to basically, you know, somehow communicate and tell, and you know, let racetrackers tell their stories.
Yeah, because we had a situation. We had a unique situation where trainers, jockeys, horsemen, people, local, just love horse racing, all came to this barbershop. So in my mind, I'm like, man, this would be a cool podcast where you have a handicapper. You might have Todd Pletcher in the chair. You might want to ask Todd a question. You might have a random horse lover. Here go Julian Leperoux. And it would be a cool vibe.
Absolutely.
Because in the barbershop, these kind of conversations is happening. And that was the original thought, you know. But I couldn't find nobody to help me film it. Everybody wanted to charge me so much money to film. Nobody seen the value in a podcast like this. I seen the value. And then COVID hit. And, you know, I brought a camera, invested in a camera, didn't know how to use a camera. So I probably was on YouTube for like a whole year watching like camera videos and just camera guys and just watching how to edit, watching
all the how-to videos
of people that I like. So I'm talking about, I'm all day, I'm glued to this thing. Like, this is like my life. It's COVID, nothing going on, I'm glued. And you know, it was a big investment because the camera was expensive, and is kind of like driving a stick shift. It's not just you buy a camera and you could just film and edit. This thing is very technical. And I'm looking at my girl. I'm like, listen, I'm about to do it. And, you know, because it's like a $13,000 investment.
Wow. Wow.
And we went all the way in.
Wow.
I went broke on the camera. And I believed in it so much, I was committed. You know what I mean? I didn't watch. I was committed. I went to B&H. And, you know, I ordered lenses. I had to send stuff back. It was just a whole thing till I narrowed down to what I had. And then we started the Facebook group. We said, you know what? We're going to go with a Facebook group so we could build the interaction in a community. So instead of going right to a page or going right to, like, just YouTube or, like, shooting content, let's try to build a community. And so we did that. We came up with the name. Maurice came. I had, like, down the backstretch or something. Then Maurice said, you know, it got to be the real players inside the backstretch. You know? And I said, you know, once he gave me the name.
That's a win.
Once he gave me the name, I'm like, you know, because I told Maurice, I said, you know what? We got to have a good name. The name is everything. He came up with the name. And we did a first post about Barbaro. We got stuck for about 7 months, nothing. And then Saratoga Track Meet came along, and we got our first interview. Our first interview was with Chad Brown, and he gave us a tour around the barn. And since then, it was just relentless. Like me, I'm a workaholic, so I'm relentless. Like I wake up every day, and I'm on it. I'm out. I'm grinding. I'm talking to people. I'm figuring it out, and I'm just going and letting the magic happen. I'm not. It's real time, so that's the thing. We want to do something in real time, and we want to tell the story of every single person in racing. We don't want to leave nobody out. We feel like everybody is important to the game, and we want to be the people to tell that story. And then Julie Crone, right, was on my Facebook. And funny story, right? So I'm talking to Julie Crone for about a month, right? She's telling me all type of, she love it, this, then the third, and I'm talking to her. She's telling me books about black jockeys, and she's sending me all kind of information. And I didn't know it was Julie Crone, Hall of Fame Julie Crone. I'm thinking I'm talking to
some girl, Julie.
A regular person that just liked, true story. I'm thinking I'm talking to somebody that just liked, because a lot of people's in my inbox at this time just loving the content. So I got a book. I'm talking about, it's like we've been talking for like at least a month and a half until one day she asked me, you don't know who I am, right? I said, no, who are you, right? And she said, Julie Crone. Then I Googled her and I was like, wow. Because I wasn't really, I'm not really a horse. My background is not horse racing. And it's just the stories for me. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I think that made her like me even more. That it was, I was really authentic and it was genuine. I wasn't trying to, you know. And then we became cool. And she said, you know what? My husband is a pretty big deal. He's a writer. You know what I mean? I'm gonna let him know. And then next thing you know, she texted me back. She said, I think my husband wanna do a story on you. He gonna call you. I gave him your number. And I said, thank you. He said, listen, he don't really write about too many things, but he gonna call you. And Jay Holday called me. Yep. Great guy. And you know, and then while he was writing the story, she texted me back. She said, I think it's gonna be real good because he's doing certain things that, you know what I mean? And I'm like, man. And then the story came out and he wrote the story about us. It was great. Then we end up, so now we're moving around. Now we want to go to Santa Anita. So I'm like, who can we call? We got no passes, no access. I said, Jay, we want to get to Santa Anita.
He said,
you know what? When you get there, call me. I'm going to set it up. We got to the Derby. He got his passes, and he was pretty much our tour around the whole San Diego Derby, introduced us to John Sheriff Sadler and just everybody in California, and he was a great host to us. And it's just been, a wild ride because these stories are so amazing. When you think about horse racing, and you think about all these horses, and you think about the history of the game, and the people that take care of these horses got the best stories. Me being a barber, working in the barbershop, this is like off-the-record conversations. I remember Vinny Viola came into the shop one year, and again, we didn't know who he was. He walked in the shop 7 o'clock. Shirt halfway buttoned down. He had like a $2 million ring on. I thought he was like a football, like he owned the football team. You know what I mean? So we asked him. We said, oh, you on the football team?
Hockey.
Yeah, but he didn't. And he started going in to his history, growing up in Brooklyn, and just a real down-to-earth guy.
Yes, very much.
Real down-to-earth. He only bet the chalk, and he tipped everybody $100 when he left. Cool, cool guy. So all these interactions that I had, this is like the real players is pretty much like a 10-year project.
Coming to fruition.
You know what I mean? It's really that. It's not like something we just thought of and we did. It was something that was burning in our spirits for many, many years. And for me, like my background is given. You know what I mean? Like I do free haircuts for the homeless and veterans every first Sunday of the month. And we do a lot of community outreach. And so just the whole real players is all about being a blessing to people. That's really what the root of it is. And that's why I come across so natural and organic, because half the guys, you believe it or not, I interview, I might get their name after the interview. It's like even like some of the guys I still don't know. Like I interviewed Gary Stevens. I didn't even know that was, I know the face, but I didn't know it was Gary Stevens.
You knew him from Seabiscuit.
And you know, because look, so I seen Gary Stevens. I'm going to tell you, my thing is super random. Like Maurice is different. He know everybody. But if I'm by myself, as I seen thing, I'm looking at him, I'm like, this, so he's talking to somebody. And I'm asking like 3 or 4 people with racing cards. I said, who's that guy right there? I don't know. So he was talking. I waited for about a half hour. And the gentleman he was talking to, they broke up, and I ran up to the gentleman. I said, who's that guy you talking to? He said, Gary Stevens. Ah. Then I hit Gary Stevens. What's up, buddy? And I told him my whole spiel, and he gave me an interview. And that's the thing about race trackers and race people, man. They all so nice. To me, anyway. Everybody is cool with me. And, you know, I want to tell that story. And I feel like the stories is very important, and it been missing.
Even before the proliferation and the wider awareness of the vids and of the, you know, the content, and I mean it's a steady stream, especially this time of year, where I mean sometimes there's 3 or 4 a day that are dropping, and I want to talk to you about where they're being stored and you know how people can catalog them and go through them, but tell the story, Rasai, about going to Louisville and, you know, having made no arrangements. You just said, we got to be at the Derby, and how that unfolded, because it's special because there's no pre-orchestrated underpinning to this. I mean, you literally just went to the Downs for Derby Week.
So we went. We brought tickets to the Derby. So when we was in Santa Anita, we met Tom Ryan. He was with Bob Baffert, and we met John Sikora. These
That's
two
my
guys.
Man.
So we met these guys. They said, "You know what? When you get to Louisville, call us." That was last year. So we booked. So we said, "You know, when we get there." So when we got there, I end up calling Tom Ryan. I said, "You know what? We need some Derby tickets." And he said, "You know what? I could get you a backstretch pass to put in your car. That'd get you in the backside." I'm like,
the invaluable stable yard pass, the most coveted placard there is.
You know, he got that.
The stable
right?
yard.
He gave me that. He said, "I'm going to leave it at the front office." And he took a picture, a screenshot, and sent me the picture, and he sent it. So I got to the gate. The security guard greeted me, right? Funny, true story. She greeted me. I said, I'm the real player. She said, "Who?" I said, "I'm the real player." She said, "You never heard of real players?" She said, "No, I don't know who the real players is, but somebody left this here for you." I said, "Okay, thank you." And we got in right to work. We walked through the door. I think the first interview probably was Jerry Dixon.
Okay.
And he's telling us a story. We love the real players. So people know us. So he's telling me a story about he's holding Rich Strike, and he's telling me about a story that this horse might get in to the Derby. He wasn't in yet. He might get in. His son is the groom. This is three or four generations. He's living through his son right now, and we're going into that. All right, cool. So now I'm there. We got so much interviews. And then I'm like, we can't get into the Derby, right? Because it's like armed security. It's like, it ain't like Saratoga. You get to the backstretch, we can figure something out.
It's easier to get on the grounds of Fort Knox than it is to get on the grounds of Churchill.
You know, you can't get on there. And you know, they got to end the turf or end the whip. And it's like, what? So I'm like, man. So that was the groundwork. And next thing you know, we walk in. So we walking around trying to get access for the Derby coming up. So we're there a couple days early. So this is like 2-3 days before Derby. So we got to meet somebody that's going to give us that golden ticket. And so I came back to the room. I said, "Maurice, listen, it was the day before the Derby." I said, "We got to wake up early Saturday morning and get to the backstretch and find somebody that's going to give us some passes." And we got there and walking around, and we bumped into a guy that's walking behind us. And we said, "Hey, buddy, the real players." He said, "I love your show." I said, "Yeah, what's your name?" He said, "Brendan Walsh." Brendan. So we stopped dead in our tracks. Brendan Walsh. He's a trainer. Gave us an interview. After the interview, we asked him. I said, "We need some tickets to get to the Derby." He went to his car and gave us two tickets, full passes, everything, all access to the Derby. We couldn't even believe it. And that's just how the real players has just been moving. It's just organically happening. Doors are just opening. I'm meeting great people that just really want to help and just love the content. And we end up, and mind you, so now we at the Derby, right? So we watching the race. I'm on the rail, right by the winner's circle. I'm right there on the rail. I'm standing next to like a representative of the Breeders' Cup, and we talking, and Rich Strike wins. Everybody start going crazy. They start looking in the form and the $30,000 claimer. Who is this? Nobody knows, and it's just pandemonium. I look on the screen. I see Jerry Dixon Jr. I said, "Ah, man,
that's my man.
That's the horse." And, you know, I didn't even bet on the horse. I said, "That's the horse, man."
All of us had some connection. I've known Eric Reed for 20 years, and was texting with him for weeks leading in about the points. How close he was going to get, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, this is unbelievable. I didn't put 2 cents. There's so many. At least Marty McGee. Marty put $8 to win on.
Oh man. So I seen that. I run all the way back to the barn now, so I catch them coming in. And I'm thinking it's going to be media there. Nobody's there. I'm the media. You know, I'm the guy. I'm like, it's going to be mob. Nobody's there. It's me. So I catch the whole first bath, everything. The whole, man, that love story was amazing. And then come to find out, the lady that, the security at the gate that was saying, who's the real player? This is Jerry Dixon Sr.'s wife.
So funny. That's funny.
That was his wife.
Oh, that is funny.
And it was a connection. I'm talking about, we connected with every single person in that derby. We interviewed the jockey agent of Sonny Leon. You know, we interviewed the two grooms, the wife of the groom. I'm talking about, it's like we brought the win in almost. It was like, it was the magic, and it was amazing. And it was like we was a part of history, and it was like the best feeling in the world. And to be at the Derby for me the first time, it was like I never seen nothing bigger than that as far as an event and a party.
No.
It was just, and it just made the passion even more, because the people that work on the backside, the next day after the Derby, all the party was over, everybody was gone, and we went on the backside the next day, and these people were still out there working.
365.
And you gotta appreciate that, man, and you gotta celebrate that. And for us, it's like, you gotta celebrate people. When you see that kind of commitment and that kind of love, it's not money that got these guys back here. It's just a love for the horses. These guys, they'd do it for free, but if they could get paid, hey, you know, most of these guys, they tell you that. And it just make the content more special, man, and it's just super real. And you guys know, you horse guys, the stories I want to talk about is what you talk about when the cameras and the mic's not on. That's the best content.
Yeah, well, and you know, it really does feel like
on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule, an average daily purse is of $625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th, with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick 5 with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? The University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you
in the winner's circle. Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standard bred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through HorseBills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. HorseBills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed.
We're back, and I guess we Case had to send it to a break for a second. Rasai Harper with us, the unbelievable story of the real players inside the backstretch, and just enjoying the backstory and looking ahead to the future after Saratoga. What, you know, where do we go from here, Rasai?
So we really want to get to the Breeders' Cup this year.
Sure.
You know, last year we did this on our own dime. We traveled all around the country, and so right now we're trying to get a budget together to do it again. And you know, as this thing is growing, and once we, and you know, we want to get to the Breeders' Cup, and we want to get to like some of the smaller tracks around the country, and we want to hit every racetrack in the world. So hopefully that'll happen for us, man, and people, just the content could take us there, you know. And we want to upgrade our equipment. Now we want to get a camera that we could shoot for Netflix and do a documentary. And because I think the content is growing, and anybody know who can do media is like, man, it's a lot to store media. It's just a lot, man. And we just want to keep growing it and do a documentary. And that'd be like one of our coolest goals, is just tell a bigger story. Talk about the barbershop, because I opened up, since COVID, the barbershop that we started at closed, and now opened up a shop in Schenectady, New York, called Boss Builders Barbershop and Outreach. So this is a multi-purpose YouTube studio, and it's the first of its kind in this area, where I created an environment because some people didn't want to help me, so I created an environment where I could use my skills and help other people. So for me, this is an 8 chairs, but I'm teaching young people to trade. And instead of looking for like funding, we came up with an idea. You know what? I used to donate all these haircuts, and I used to donate haircuts at nursing homes and stuff like that. And it was always women doing the haircuts. So the men never got pampered. The women always got a good haircut. The men was just a buzz. So I said, you know what? This is a lane that if we reach out to all these facilities and say, you know what? Give us these contracts. And the people that I teach this trade to, I could actually take them to the money. Because this is literally thousands and thousands of jobs that's on the board. You know what I mean? And we got two contracts. We got one with Avilia right now. It's 200 beds. And we got Elliot in Troy. And so we building that model right now. So eventually it'll be a workforce development that we could introduce in the community to help young people to trade. And the goal is to open one or two man incubator barbershops. You don't need a 10 person chair no more. as a barber, it's like a barber's is personal with their client. I just need to own my chair. Like I told you, the type of clientele I had, Bill Parcells, Kendrick. I had a good clientele. I don't need 10 chairs. I just need my chair. So I want to kind of create that environment for young people or just people that want to learn a trade, and we can focus more about entrepreneurship, so branding and products and stuff like that. So that's the goal with Boss Builders Barbershop and Outreach. And the goal for the real players is we want to do a comic book to remember all, like something cool for the racetrackers, storylines, and just bring that to life. You know what I mean? I got two daughters, they twins, 6 years old, and I want to create something that everybody could enjoy. You know what I mean? Even kids could know the history of what's going on in a cool way. We want to do an online memorial when we get the website up and going, where it'd be a digital version of where we could remember fallen racetrackers. So, you know, as I interview so many people, people bring up the Leroy Jollies, they bring up the Alan Jerkins, they bring up the all the legendary guys, front side, back side. We want to create a place where you could go and remember them. So you could leave, you know how people, you pass away.
It's a great idea.
You see roses in the street and then 2 weeks they sweep them up. This could be somewhere you could go and remember and tell your stories and leave roses. I think this would be cool. I think it would transfer through, like, everywhere. I think everybody would take that
because
it's great. And, you know, that's really the goal. Like, if we could get funding to really take us around the globe again this year, it would be perfect. We want to upgrade equipment because right now with all this media, it's hard to store all this stuff. I got so much. You need powerful computers. Now that I'm in the media game, these is big files, so you need powerful computers to store stuff in, you know. But we growing at a I'm just taking it day by day. This is all new, all we just figuring out as I go. Every Amazing. Day is just a new learning curve for me and something new. So I can't even say, you know, who know I'll be sitting here with Steve Beck this morning. I never thought this, you know. The content is just making all this happen, and you know, and it's special. That's all I could say. Like, it's just special. I can't even describe it. I tell myself every day, like, I tell my friends, like, you know what? I see my life changing in front of my eyes.
Yeah.
Literally, I really do. I think we created something so special that, you know, I don't know where it's going to take me. I know, though, I'm committed. I'm not stopping. I got enough content right now that I could post every day for the next 2 years without going to a racetrack. That's how much I pressed in. I still got content from the Derby last year, from Preakness. And the way I posted unorthodox, three a day, two a day, here, there, because people, race industry right now, they all follow the same couple barns, right? The same story. Everybody chasing the same three stories, the same five trainers. And they chasing event after event. So after this, we on to the next, forget about the last. So me, I'm unorthodox because I want people to follow people. You know, even I got content that I'm holding from Saratoga that I might not post until a couple months from now.
Sure.
When I'm at Breeders' Cup.
Well, and you could also, you know, when you create a catalog of material, you then have got the option that as a story develops, and as you know, whether it's a horse or whether it's a trainer, you can slap it out there. I mean, somebody's got a, you know, somebody that's a, as you're saying, somebody that is not a well known and mainstream, but that you've had conversation with, and they've got a stake horse coming up on Saturday, Wednesday, Thursday. You put up the video of them when you talked to them, you know, 6 months ago, a year ago.
And, you know, another thing we're passionate about, we want to raise $1 million. And I don't know how to do it, right? I want to put the right people around it. And I don't want to control the money. I want it to get dispersed how I see it in my mind. But I want to put the right people around it. We want to raise $1 million. And we want to give away 5,000 to 200 people on the backside.
Like a foundation grant kind of a
But we're giving it away. And we're giving it away in real time. And we're doing it random. So it's no confusion. It's not who been here the longest. If you run into the real players, today's your lucky day. And we don't care what you do with it, how you spend it. It ain't got nothing to do with nothing. It's just a blessing. And I feel like if, you know, and
just want to spread the good fortune.
And that can happen easily because if people say the game don't survive without the people on the backside. We should be able to raise $100 million. A million is just
that's
nothing.
That's true.
Well, I feel like
you'd be surprised. You'd be very. Shouldn't.
It's tough.
No, I know.
It's tough.
Tell me.
But
I know.
I just put it in the universe and just see what happened. But that's really the goal. I had one person say, because these people can't manage money. I said,
That's ridiculous.
It didn't make no sense. And, when we think about it, why not? Why not be a blessing to people? You'd be surprised. And hopefully one day the real players might be a racing team.
That'd be great, too. That's a great idea.
That might be. That's an option. We want to do a racing team at some point. We met so much good horsemen on the backside that I know if they had an opportunity with some horses, we could do some damage. It's endless. Endless where we could go. And me, I'm a big dreamer. I dream big. And, sky's the limit, and we're going to take it.
Rasai Harper has been with us. The real players inside the backstretch, and you're seeing it. If you're a Twitter user, you're instantly familiar. But for those of you, and if you poke around Facebook, it's come your way. But Rasai, lay out for everybody where the content, where they can find it, where they can basically sign in and get a regular access to it, and also where the inventory of conversations is being kept, so that people can basically thumb through the catalog and pick and choose and enjoy. Everything and anything.
So the catalog is growing and is expanding. So obviously Facebook, the real players inside the backstretch. You can see everything there on Facebook. YouTube, the real players inside the backstretch. Twitter is the real backstretch, which have been getting popular for me lately. And Instagram is inside the backstretch. So I'm pretty much on all social media. If you Google the real players inside the backstretch, everything is going to come up. You can find it. You can message me on social. I respond, and we can have a conversation. If you got a story that you want to tell me, you could message me, and we could get to the story. And
it's a good idea too.
And if you want, and if you're local and you want to come to the content studio and sit down and tell your story, I'm set up to do that as well. So I'm located in at 1553 State Street in Schenectady, New York. And the name of the barbershop is Boss Builders and Outreach, and it's all community-based, and it's all for the people. And, that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to be a blessing for people,
Speaking of blessings.
Shout out to the guys at the chaplaincy,
Humberto and Nick.
Doing great work.
Unbelievable.
And shout out to my guy, Sonny Taylor,
And,
Sonny Taylor gave me a good tour around and introduced me to some cool people.
Yeah, Sonny.
And that's pretty cool, man. The goal is we want to travel the globe, man. If you can help us travel the globe and connect us with the right people. And it was funny, last night I was on Twitter and the Godolphins followed me on Twitter. And I'm seeing a lot of industry people starting to follow my Twitter page, and it's really resonating with the culture. And that makes me proud, that makes me happy that people get it, People get it that I gave him a whole year and a half worth of a resume of what I'm about, and it's all about healthy conversations, the great things about horse racing, how you fell in love with horses, earliest memories, and we want to stay out the politics and just talk about the healthy things in horse racing. I think is way more healthy stuff to talk about, and how can we push the culture forward another how many years, keep it growing. And with content is changing, I feel like we should be in the conversation of the new way we deliver content and how we get content. And talk to us, man. Let us be involved in the conversation.
It's interactive. It's an interactive conversation and a give and take, and you want a dialogue, essentially.
Yeah.
And it's invaluable. And again, for me, as when we had you on TV a couple of weeks ago, when I reached out to you, the part of this that is so winning is that it didn't come from some think tank, the McKinsey group, didn't, you know, spit this out and charge $800,000 for it. It came from Rasai's heart and from his experience, and that sincerity is what is making it just absolutely, you know, engaging and invaluable. So Rasai, anything I can communicate through here, you know, I'm. Anything you need, you
absolutely.
Know, do not hesitate.
Absolutely.
All right,
absolutely. Thank you so
and
much.
Give your wife a push too, because she's a fabulous stylist in her own right here in town, right?
Yes, yes. She's not in town no more. She's at the Boss Builders Barbershop, Charlie DeClos.
She's down there too,
full time now. She's at 1553 State Street in Schenectady. Excellent, Barbara, and you know, give us a view. Check us out. We do great work, and we commit it to what we
That's
do.
For sure.
And, you know, thank you, Steve.
Rasai, thank you, buddy. I appreciate this. Yes. I appreciate what you're doing very much. Rasai Harper, everybody. A first hour in the book. Let's take a break. We got to get Sid in here. We've got a bunch of visitors yet to come, including Tom Law and John Chapazian, who are now separated by one winner in the standings when it comes to the Saratoga Special selections. Seth and Chuck in hour three, Bill Gallo in hour three, and we're going to bring in Guy Torsiglieri with some latest news on Far Hills, because it's not far away. October 15th, circle the date on the calendar, and after we talk to Sid, we'll go to Kentucky Downs and have a visit with Hammer, and we'll start to look at tomorrow's opening day action out in the countryside. Fabulous card. Started a peek at it, and it's terrific. We're on the turf here today. I got that out this morning at about 7:30. Don't worry about that. Turf is listed as good. They're going to run the jump race. Not a problem there either. So get tied on. Let's go. I did wait, because we got, I don't know if they got as much rain in Saratoga. I'm going to say maybe, just based on some washout here. But we did not, in Greenwich, I was getting a little worried the way it was coming down, that we were going to end up off the turf today. And I knew that they would run with anticipation. I wasn't worried about the stake. The two-year-olds. I made Noble Huntsman, by the way, at 8-1. I made Noble Huntsman the DePaula play of the day. I got to come up with some winners. I got three shots left. It's after last year, you know, hitting, I think I hit 11 of 20. This year I'm 0 for 17 with 5 seconds. Maddening. So I'm going to try Noble Huntsman. Let's see if we can't finish with a flourish. Ron Anderson, everybody, the man who runs racing. Going by. It's been a fun morning. It's cool and sunny and beautiful right now. We'll thank Rasai Harper again as he heads off, and Michael Blowen, who cycled through, and happy to have had the Morgans here, too. Been a lot of fun. Let's take a break. Come right back. We'll talk to Sid. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill & Dale. In fact, John Sakura was invoked earlier by Rasai. At the races, Sirius XM, hour two after this.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia's Colonial Downs.